May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. There is at certain times in our lives such a mysterious nature of our Christian faith, one which has the capacity to pull our focus away from the powerfully simple and direct message at times of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear Christ's words again, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus walks into the synagogue of his youth and is given the scroll with these words to read from the prophet Isaiah. This is a visual testament that shows everyone that is in that space of worship what it is to be like him, what it is to be like Christ. And he astounds them when he says to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your midst." He is saying to those that will listen, "Take the scroll in your hands. Take the scroll in your hands." Christ claims that to identify with his message, to identify with him, is to be about the kind of transformation that the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before, prophesied. One that works and prays for the poor and the captives, those that are oppressed, those that are hurting, those that cannot see, who seem to have lost their way. This is what it is to be like Christ, to reach out to those people. This was to become the ultimate vision of the church, to transform people's lives in whatever condition they were in, through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A simple yet a profound message. And those can be challenging words to internalize and to live out. Almost as challenging as it seems for Kentucky to hold on to a lead in the final minutes of a game. I almost did not have a voice, and that was just looking at the television and screaming. St. Paul knew this all too well. He dealt with a church in Corinth that did not agree on every issue and talked of division over issues all the time. He writes, as we heard beautifully read, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." He goes on to say, "For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." And then he lists the distinctions: Jews or Greeks, they were in that church. Slaves or free, they were in that church. All were made to drink of the one Spirit. And then he beautifully uses the language of body parts to say that one part of the body can't say to another that I have no need of you. Paul is saying everyone is critical in the body of Christ. Everyone is needed. And perhaps most importantly, more than anything else, everyone gets the same care and respect in the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul proclaims to the Corinthians the fundamental teaching of Christ for oneness of the church, both locally and worldly, that despite sin and disagreements among members of the body, each member desperately needs the other to carry forth the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. That to seek to divide the body, the church, is sinful itself. I believe that we are made rich by our diversity. Diversity of thought, diversity of spirituality, diversity of story, diversity of being. The body, the church, then, is called to live in its diverse complexity, at times dealing with her own sinful behavior, but Christ's body, through it all, is not to be divided. Rick Warren, in his bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life, writes on the necessary unity of the church, stating, "It is your job to protect the unity of the church. Unity in the church," he writes, "is so important that the New Testament gives more attention to it than either heaven or hell. Unity," he writes, "is the soul of fellowship. Destroy it, and you rip the heart of Christ's body." You see, it is in our unity that we must focus on the true call of Christ's church, to serve others who need us. We are blessed here at St. John's by our overwhelming sense of community and unity. It has come with a cost for all of you, but the journey has been worth it. The community and the unity has been a great blessing and grace from God. There are mysteries, complexities, and even apparent contradictions at times in the Christian faith. However, as Christians and as a community of faith, we are called to protect that unity of the church and live the words that Christ spoke from Isaiah. We must look at the many issues of hunger, the issues of poverty, the issues of racism, sexism, crime, terrorism, and disease that confront our nation and the world, and speak the fundamental truth of Jesus Christ. Speak the language of God's love, that Jesus Christ lived and died on the hard wood of the cross and rose out of his tomb from behind a stone to bring the love of God to the poor and the oppressed, to those that were in need, to those that were searching, to those that were lost, to give them hope for a new life in Jesus Christ. Christ rose to save you and me from our sins and give us sight when we lose our way. It is a unity that together seeks to make this a better society, a better world, a better church. It is a vision of the kingdom of God. Amen.